of true Islam and the West, looking for the compatibility, the agreement,
yes,
the similarities, and the news of their findings are reaching some of the policymakers in the West. And some of them are beginning to study Islam too. The social idea in Islam, the political idea in Islam, and particularly the economic idea in Islam, to see if maybe this religion that we have not known but took for granted may have something to offer Western civilization that may strengthen it more and give it a promise for a longer future, a greater future. This is happening right now. This is serious business. I myself heard a powerful Western thinker say that maybe Islam might have something to contribute to our economic system. What makes America so special and great is that America never believes that she has been all she could be. America is an idea,
yes,
a country in progression.
Yes, sir.
It is a country in evolution. Even its idea is an idea in progression. It's an idea in evolution. An idea that is evolving and evolving and evolving. Look at how the leaders of America, of our government, before the Union was formed, the Confederacy, look at how it regarded its public. Look at how it regarded its subjects. And then look how, after the Union, a certain mindset survived that didn't respect the African-American or the black citizen, didn't give him equality with other citizens. And gradually, the nation changed, and they themselves followed the direction for change that was expressed on free. Constitution-wise, we're free. And something gave support from that Constitution of the United States, gave support for them to establish equal opportunity in employment. That everyone is to have equal opportunity in employment. All of this has been born out of the document we call the United States Constitution. It is an elastic constitution. The preamble to that constitution sets the stage. It sets the stage for what should follow and what should not follow. So when laws are written into the Constitution, clauses are put into the Constitution that go against, that are discovered later, that went against the language of the founders, the founding fathers, then those clauses are questioned. And in time, those clauses are abrogated, done away with it, by new clauses that are more consistent with the original purity, the intent of the founding fathers. So the Constitution, denied us voting rights, made property the condition for voters. You had no property, you weren't supposed to vote. Many things happened to deny us our freedom. Women were not allowed to vote. They were seen as not having the right to vote. And they had to wait too a long time before they got their rights. But something, a power, an original purity in the language of the founding fathers set the stage for all these great things to happen and for the evils to be removed. This is the Constitution of the United States of America. A precious document. Very precious document. We know that not only Muslims, good Christians, just good citizens, they don't like what has developed in the name of the separation of church and state.
Yes.
This secular world and secularism that seems to be getting more and more approval and growing bigger and bigger over our lives, over our religious lives. This is not something that's welcomed by decent religious people. They don't like it that sin has more presence on television than holiness. They don't like it that the shopping districts invite more wrong than right. They don't like that, and we don't like it. But we should look not at our just at our differences. We should look to see where and what measure are we the same. Christians worship God and love God. We do too. Christians believe life should reflect faith in God. We do too. Christians want to preserve a God-fearing world, a God-fearing environment, so that their children will come up knowing God. We do too. We are citizens of the same, in the same living space.
Yes, sir.
Muslims and Christians and Jews. But because the Christians are so numerous, I'm talking about Christians more than the Jews. We're sharing the same living space. What happened to the block or to the neighborhood is going to affect all of us on the block or in the neighborhood. What happened to the town will affect all of us that are living in the town. If the media give more presence there and more authority to Satan, all of us are going to be affected by the power of Satan in the media or on the media. All of us.
That's right.
Christians and Muslims. So doesn't it make good sense for us to look at what we share in common, what we want together, and the life that we have to live together on this earth in America? Look at that and say, I need these people as my friends. We have great odds to fight. We need all the friends on our side we can get. Now, I believe that a sensible thinking Christian should be thinking that way and should be looking at the Muslims, say their numbers are growing. Those people believe a lot like we believe.
That's right.
They will be our supporters.
That's right.
They will be on our side against drugs.
That's right.
They'll be on our side against criminals. They'll be on our side against pornography. Child abuse. Now, how much more important that is for us, who are a small minority, that we gonna write this big Christian majority off as all captives? The odds that I'm up against in America are just too great. I don't believe little David could handle this Goliath. This Goliath of deception. This Goliath of corruption. This Goliath of greed. I don't believe little David could handle this mighty Goliath that is in the modern world today. Now you're going to tell me that this all these, I got some relatives that are Christians.
That's right, amen.
You gonna, I got to say, they're my enemy too. They're Catholic, accept Islam, or you my enemy.
That's right.
I never read anywhere in the Quran where God says to a Catholic, accept Islam or else.
That's right.
God says to the Catholic, tell us to say to the Catholic, you have your way, I have my way. You got your religion, I got my religion. To you is yours, and to you is, and to me is mine. You ain't gonna never accept mine, I ain't gonna never accept yours. That's what God tells me to say. Now what did that freak preaching for? Hey, let's make some sense. What is Imam Zedek preaching in South Africa for? To Christian preachers who are Kafirs. Why don't he just read that one surah to us? If all Christians are Kafirs, why does he have to go and do all that Bible research?
Go ahead, buddy, now.
Volumes and volumes, pages and pages, booklets after booklets, videotape after videotape, all by Zedek, Imam Zedek. The Nobel Prize winner in the Muslim world. Yes, he received the Saudi Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's Nobel Prize. They don't call it the Nobel Prize. It's the equivalent. They call it the equivalent. I call it the Nobel Prize. Now, what is he writing all those arguments for and straining his brain? Putting all that research down on the Bible and everything, and going and presenting it to preachers to convert them to Islam. If they are Catholics, why don't we just say, Puli ayel kafiru, la abudu meta abudu, and finish it to the end. Lakum dinu kum waliyadin. Yeah? Why don't we do that? God told him what to say. Why don't we say it to those Catholics? I wouldn't be dealing with these things if they were not in our way. If we had to have a future in America, we have to get these things out of the way first. Muslims believe in clean, upright behavior. Good Christians believe in the same. The moral thinking of a Muslim is too near kin to the moral thinking of good Christians for us to look at them as enemies. The ethical thinking of Muslim civilization is too near kin to the ethical thinking of good Western civilization for us to think of Western civilization as our enemy. We can present an argument to them, and we're supposed to argue, even with those people that we believe to be sincere. If they have problems, and if we think we can make a contribution to a correction, God wants us to try to make that contribution. We don't believe Christ Jesus is the Son of God. We don't believe God has sons. He has only dependents that he created. And all people are the dependents of God. If God was to accept, to report his holdings to the IRS, he would have to put every human being alive on this planet down as his dependent. Allahu Akbar. And there are other areas too of great difference. We are not the part with them. We're not to part with them, no. God says an order with them. In the best way. With beautiful and excellent preaching. That's what God says. To us. Wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. That's what God says. And argue with them with beautiful and excellent preaching. Don't present an argument that's intended to aggravate them, to insult them, to speak down to them, or write them off as decent people. God doesn't want us having a discussion with the Christians like that. He wants our discussion with Christians to be sincere, respectful, beautiful words, and excellent choice of language. Wisdom and beauty. Muslims have a destiny. We don't like to use any term that the West uses. Just because the West talks about a destiny, now it's unacceptable for a Muslim to use that term, destiny. Prophet Muhammad promised that he will meet his followers who followed him, his strong followers, disciples, promised that he will meet them at the water pool. Well, if it's in your heart to meet him there, then that's a destiny. That's a destiny. He set a destiny for the Muslims. But I believe when God says to the Muslim, you are the best community evolved for all people. Evolved or brought out for all people. Now God says the Muslim, he brought, evolved the Muslim community of the world. He evolved it or brought it out, not just for Muslims, but for all people. I believe when God said that, God called us to a destiny. Yes, he called us to take up the destiny. Now we know that the community under the leadership of our Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, it was that community in its beauty, in its purity, and it was a community brought out for the good of all people, because we know that the contributions from science and morality, decency and civilization reached the West, and now the whole world is getting the benefit of that early rise of Islam. The whole world is getting the benefit. The numbers we use, the algebra, the astronomy, the medicine, and on and on and on. We can name many areas where the contribution of Islam, if it was not there, the West couldn't be advanced as it is today. So we know that that community did prove to be a community evolved, a brought up, for the good of all people. But what about today? What is the popular thinking today? Do we still believe that Muslims should have all people in their hearts, all people in their interests, to benefit them, that all people get the benefit? Our prophet said in agreement, or if I would not say in agreement, he said, I would say in line with, or in the spirit of the word, God's word in the Quran, he says, the best of you is the one who's most beneficial to people, all people. Allahu Akbar. The best of you is the one who is beneficial to all the people. Not just to one people, but to all the people. Praise be to Allah. So we have a destiny. Our destiny is a global destiny, because Islam is a global idea. It is an idea to revolutionize the globe. That's what Islam is. It is an idea put in the world to revolutionize the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Not speaking of revolution in the same meaning that the political world has it. No. I'm speaking of revolution in the language of the natural environment. The natural environment. From an area of the earth that was barren, realized change in environment, change of climate or some other change, and that barren area becomes a productive area, producing rich crops whereas before it did not produce rich crops. That's a phenomenal change. That's a revolution. That's a natural revolution for that particular land. But when a people realize a change from rocky, sandy, stony ground of their own soul and mind to a productive, flourishing soul and mind, that's a revolution for those people. Islam wants to bring about that kind of revolution in the souls and minds of the people on this earth, all of them. Islam has a very, very potent idea that it wants to bring to the souls and minds of the people on this earth so that it can enter them and affect the climatic change for their souls and their thinking. So that their souls and their thinking that was just sand and rocks, boulders and stumps and things dying will change from that to a flourishing paradise. A beautiful, flourishing, rich paradise. That's what Al-Islam wants to do. It wants to do this not for one people, but for all people. Not for one nation, but for every nation. This is what Allah says in His holy book. Islam comes with an idea to address the need for man to see himself as one community. Not just Muslims as one community, but man as one community. Allah says, Kana nasu ummatan wahida. Kana nasu ummatan wahida. The people themselves were once one community. And ask any Arab who has a command of his language, any student of Arabic grammar, ask him, what does that imply? He will tell you that when you translate it, you shouldn't say the people were once one community. You should say the people are one community. The language there, the wisdom in the language, is to tell us, though it is not presently, it was intended to be that way by God. It ain't saying what exactly was passed, but what God intended it to be. Mean with God's plan, when the plan was with God, He planned that man be one community on this earth. Therefore, any Muslim who understands this wisdom, this hikmah of the Quran, this ilm of the Quran, anyone who understands that, he's supposed to look at the world of mankind and say, man is one family, man is one community. Excuse me. Yes, the Muslim is to work for one destiny. His destiny should be a global society under God, where all the members in that society get the same respect from God, and therefore must get the same respect from each other. Supported by faith and universal principles and values. That's what we should be working for. A moral world in its best nature and sense. An ethical world in its best state. A world that will not violate its own rules of moral truth or ethical truth. That it will be consistent. And that's where Islam is definitely more on the issue than any other idea I know.
Oh, yes.
Islam is on the issue of moral consistency. You must have moral consistency. Don't say this is right for you and not right for him.
Right.
Don't say this is right for your nation and not right for the other nation. Don't say this is right in the mosque, but not right in the marketplace. The Muslim makes the marketplace his mosque. If it's Jumu'ah time and he's in the marketplace, and there's enough of them to form the blinds and make prayer, he will have Jumu'ah right in the marketplace. That's Islam. That's al-Islam. We should be struggling to have social excellence and economic justice. That is the destiny for Muslims. Religion for us is our whole life. And most important in the religious life is to recognize that the God that created us with a spirit to excel. A spirit to excel. It's the spirit in everything living. Everything living is born with a spirit to excel. It comes here weak, with weak muscles, and in a few hours or a few days, we see strength where there was no strength yesterday. We see ability where there was no ability yesterday. And if you keep watching that life, you see it grow and grow in more ability and in more better performance until it reached the excellence of performance that God created it with. The human beings have been created here on this earth to perform.
Yes.
And it's that created excellence, that native, inborn excellence that God cocked into our life system that's motivating us and pushing us, requiring us to do better, to perform better, to have better, to want better,
yes,
to achieve more, to excel. God created us like that. The prophet said that God has prescribed excellence for everything. It's inscribed into your own created makeup. So the Muslim community, as a religious community, it is evolutionary life. It's life on the rise.
Yes, sir.
It's life developing into better and better form. For Muslims, community is our destiny. Community is our destiny. We are created here on this earth as individuals and families to follow guidance and grow into community. We may say the destiny of every social group is community. Community. So the state that is desired in our human soul, even before we are able to walk around the table, still crawling on our hands and knees, is community establishment. Community establishment. Man was put here to serve in community. Serve Creator, but serve Creator in community. God, I repeat, says, you are the best community evolved for all people. Excellence for one's community is a native or inherent hunger in the soul of every person. Sometimes we wonder how come we can't be satisfied.
Yes.
How come it's not enough to be James Brown? Aretha Franklin. The druggist on the corner.
Yeah.
The dentist down the street. The mechanic across the road. How come it's not enough? How come everybody got to be a Farrakhan before they can feel free? How come we need all that sense of power?
All right, now.
To have lasting peace in the soul, man must contribute to community excellence. In this country, every citizen is invited to make a contribution. No citizen is discouraged. They don't say this government has gone as far as it can go in excellence. They say citizen rise up and make a contribution. They don't say American society or this way of life is the best it can be. But it welcomes any citizen who wants to rise up and lead it further down the road or further into the road of its excellence. This is a free society. This is a democratic society. Don't say it's not and sit still and do nothing. If you don't believe it, well then say, I believe the one that said this is a liar. Didn't mean it. But they said it. So I'm going to make them live up to it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what made our leaders great?
Yeah.
Eh? Frederick Douglass? Du Bois? Dr. Martin Luther King?
That's
I'm sure that they said, we know these people don't believe what they say themselves. If they believed it, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in. Wouldn't have one law for them and one law for us. We know they obviously don't believe this beautiful language, but they said it. And as a legalist, I can stand upon it and argue with them and force them to respect it. So you who feel that America is not for you, put aside your distrust. Maybe you're right. Maybe they are hypocrites. But make the hypocrite live up to his own lie that he told and said it was true. That's what we've been doing. That's how come we've got this far. Frederick Douglass and Dr. Martin Luther King, we've gotten this far because we said, look, what you said, live up to it. You made it law. Now live up to it. You made it the guideline for your law. Now live up to it. So if you're that distrustful, you think the white people don't want you and don't like you, and they're lying to you when they say, this country's for everybody. I'm telling you, okay, I'll accept that. Keep that in your heart. They all are liars. But make the liar live up to what he wrote, or live up to what he says he will support. Force him to honor what he says he stands by. Whether you believe in him or not. That was my decision many years ago. After everything the world says, if there's something I can use, I'm going to take it and force them to respect it. We have the Holy Quran, don't we? And we say that we are under the authority of God's word, the Holy Quran, right? Okay, if I'm your imam, and this is the messenger right here, where we are now. And I don't treat you right. And maybe I lie when I give you those real beautiful khutbahs. Maybe I'm nothing but a hypocrite. But you got the word, you got the law against me. Don't you act as I want you to act. You act upon the law. You take the Quran up and act upon the Quran. And then whenever the imam tell you, hey, what are you doing there? You can't do that. Say, buddy, imam, this is the book that you read to us, the one that you preach. Here it is right here, buddy, imam. That's what our people did up from slavery to the lawmakers of this land. They picked up the idea and said, look, you're not conforming to this beautiful idea. And they forced them, chained them, and made it very uncomfortable for them to go on doing the ugly things they were doing against the image of Christ Jesus, peace be on him, and against the purity of the Constitution. Why can't we use that same wisdom, that same powerful wisdom and strategy? Religion asks believers, got a little head cold, this is natural here. Religion asks believers to cherish their national life, their national communities. We find in Scripture where God refers to the people of faith as being a nation. And remind them that he made them a nation. Or aided them into their national life. So the religion wants us to respect and cherish our national communities. But religion wants us to do this in obedience to God, and that means we are to value humanity and to have our national life respect humanity and make a contribution to humanity at large. Serving Allah, then serving God in this particular way, in this very intelligent way. Serving God is beneficial to all people. God wouldn't want us to serve him if it wasn't good for all people. When we serve God as we should serve God, we are the friend of all man, all mankind. We are the friend. We are a helper to all people when we serve God in the right way. If there's an urgency in our life on us, more than any other urgency, more important than any other thing stirring or moving in our hearts and souls, it is the need to have Muslim communities in America. Muslim communities in America. We have to stop thinking of just having Muslim meeting places in America. A Muslim house of prayer in America. A Muslim school in America. Allah says he made us not a Muslim prayer house. Allah didn't say he made us a Muslim school. Allah said he made us a community. A community of excellence. A community of excellence that makes a contribution or is beneficial to all people. That's what God says. Then our destiny, our mission on this earth, wherever we are, in America or in England or in Saudi Arabia, wherever we are, our mission should be to advance the Muslim community so that that Muslim community be not only a testimony to our obedience to God, but also a testimony to the fact that we are the friend of all people, that we are the helper of all people, that we work not just for our future, but for the future of mankind. That's what God asks of us in the Quran. And there's not an educated Muslim here that can debate with me and prove me wrong. I'm going to do something I don't usually do. When I finish, I'm going to invite you to debate with me. I think it would be unfair for me to be warming up here for the fight and not give you a chance to think about you. So you start warming up for the fight. Thank you. have to recognize. See, a person who wants to be correct must first be able to see clearly the important things hinging upon the interest. He wants to be correct. What is the interest? I don't care what it is. You want to be correct in this, you want to be correct in that. I don't care what it is. Whatever the interest is, you should be able to see clearly the important things hinging upon that.
Mm-hmm.
What's directly tied to that? What's directly affecting that? If you don't, you're going to mess up. Now, we are in America, and we want Muslim life in America. We want Muslim establishment in America. I know I do. We want a future for Muslim establishments in America. I do. We want to see Muslim neighborhoods where there's a mosque, a mini mosque, a school, or several schools, and a thriving Muslim business community. And Muslims turning the lights on and off. Not in the house, in the city. For the city. Yeah. I want to see that. Somebody's doing it. Why not me? We want to see Muslims with airlines. Muslims with trucking lines. Huh? I know I do. Muslims with a train. Or more than one train. Yeah. Muslims with ships. Bringing goods from across the water and taking goods to places overseas. I know I do. I want to see Muslims as big as anybody else. God says we're the best.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say you second best. God said you're the best.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I'm going to look with hope to that destiny, then I also should be looking to one day have as much influence over the wealth of this country as anybody else.
That's right.
Oh, that's big talk. You shouldn't be surprised. My father had 3 years education from Sandersville, Georgia. Talking about 70 years ago or 80 years ago. You know what that 3 years elementary education was for a black person 70, 80 years ago in Georgia. That's all he had. He learned how to read and write on his own. And he had the courage to say, get up and support yourself. Make jobs for yourself. Buy farmland, produce for yourself. Buy transportation, transport yourself. Buy an airplane. And you did it too. Yeah, you did it. I'm telling you. I got a chance to go as a passenger in that plane, I know. So it shouldn't be no surprise to you that his son is now holding the Quran and saying these things that I'm saying. That ain't no new tone.
Same tone.
So we have to have some intelligent observation. We are in a very, very powerful country. I think most of us, even those that are that are so bitter, they have become psychotic.
Yes.
Just insane with bitterness. Even us, I think we will admit that there ain't nobody equal this country in power. No other nation equal this country in power. Allah can. Yeah, but see, you don't even think rationally. Allah wasn't even in the focus. I said nations, not Allah. Now that's the one that was going to debate me when I get through. He's ready now. He said he warmed up enough. He's ready. Yeah, I just heard him say, I was warmed up enough for you when I came in the door. So in this powerful country, we should want to see in positions of leadership extraordinary characters.
That's right.
Persons with extraordinary character. Not no average old run-of-the-mill character. Old weak person in his character that can't hold up to somebody offering him $1,000 bribe, not to mention $1 million bribe. We shouldn't want to see people like that in power, in position of power. We should want strong characters in our leaders. Strong character. Strong moral character in our leaders. We should want that our government have the best leadership. If we don't like what we're getting, we should pray to God and look among our children and see who's coming along. Look for bright moral. Every time the little one grow up under you, look, study him. And see if he may be that next leader. If he may have that genius, that intelligence, that discipline, that respect, those qualities that we need in the President of the United States, like Colin Powell has. We should be looking for it. And when we find him, we should give him the support. Give him the support. Let the community know. Spread the word. We have a special child here with special abilities. And if you're not able to afford to send him to the best school, let the community get behind you, and we all send him to the best school. Allahu Akbar. Yes, we all take him up as our child, as our concern. We take him up because we want to have better future for ourselves, better future for this great nation. Wouldn't that make more sense than what we're doing now? Weeping and wallowing in the bitter, foul, threatened tears of the past, instead of jumping up and saying the future is longer than the past.